5. Loading. 4.
Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer is winning.
3. Almost there. 2.
Cross. And Dempsey's tonight again. And Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this?
1. Here we go. Now. Introducing Sunday League Finest Podcast with your host, David Donis, and Roberto O.B. Hernandez.
Oi, oi! Welcome into another episode of Sunday League's Finest. I know you guys have been waiting all week for this one. This one, we're not going panel. We're just going back to the originals, the OGs, me and David Donis. David, tell everybody what's up.
OGs?
Yeah, man. It was fun having Ro on. You know, sometimes we needed to get him behind the, away from the online keyboard and on the mic. So it was a lot of fun. But it's just, we're back at it, just me and you. So let's do this, man. How was your weekend, first of all?
Yeah, it was good. I got to hang out with some family. You know, they came and visited me. Shout out to Eric and my cousin Damien. We just watched the Galaxy game together, then grabbed some ice cream and kicked it right by the pool, poolside, and then I got to visit my aunt and my grandma, so it was pretty good. Yours?
How cute. We went to go see the United game, so obviously, like Galaxy, we won.
Did you lose a bet always... or what?
Shut up. Yeah, me and 60,000 other people. It was fun. Went to the United game. They won, which makes it even better. Other than that, you know, it's chilled, you know, watched some shows. It was a good weekend. Hey, let me ask you, man, how do you feel about the new season of Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso. So amazing first season. Second season's going against the current right now. They're trying to, it's like they're drowning right now and we're trying to save them. I think there's still some good moments of it. You know, there's still moments that makes me laugh. But I feel like they're trying to be too cheesy now between every, you know, single line that Ted Lasso has. I mean, the best thing about it was the lead tassel, right?
Yeah, that was probably the best part of this season. And it's funny because I'm actually rewatching the first season because I got my parents and my little brother on board. So we're going through and, man, I was just like going through it. I was like, man, first season was really good. So now that I'm also watching the second season, I get to compare it, you know, episode for episode. And yeah, it's just, it's not as good as the first season was. And like you mentioned, some of it seems a little bit cheesy, or the funny moments are few and far between. And already we're on what, like episode 5 now?
The 5 will be this week. Yes.
Yeah. So we're already halfway through the season. We talked about it. It's already been greenlighted for a third season. So, you know, I don't know. You know, with writing and stuff, it's always tough. But, you know, you had so much excitement from the first season. I mean, you got a lot of people that, you know, were not even watching it for soccer purposes that were on board. So, obviously, I'm still hoping it turns around. But, yeah.
Do you think they're trying to go away from the soccer bit now a little too much? Like, because they know a lot of their fans aren't soccer fans.
Yeah, and I really don't know what the split is, but I don't know. Like, for you, you're probably like me where it was like, you know, it's comedic. There's all this stuff around it, like almost being on the inside of like a locker room, like, you know, like NFL does it. What's the name of the show called? Hard Knocks. So there's kind of like a little bit of a feel of that, but when the game finally came on, like they actually were playing, like you kind of got that excitement in you where you're like, oh man, you know, let's see what happens in the game. And yeah, now kind of the episodes, you're right, it's kind of going away from that, which it's losing a little bit of its appeal.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, speaking about clowns, let's talk about the MLS. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn, Don Garber's about to come for you, bro.
I know, dude. No, I'm just kidding. But let's get into the MLS roundup. It's time for MLS roundup. Yo, so back into the MLS roundup, David. Let's start. You already mentioned it. Atlanta United won back-to-back games now. How are you feeling? How do they look as a team?
ATL, ho. Man, it's crazy, right? it wasn't too long ago where everything was doom and gloom. But now, you know, things are turning around. Obviously, we got the interim coach, Rob Valentino, who's, you know, been the man at the helm so far. You know, what can you say? I think he's simplified things. And also, I think that kind of goes to show that there were some real issues with hindsight. And obviously now we got our new coach, Gonzalo Pineda, who will be, I think he had COVID, so he had to do the whole COVID protocol thing. So Rob Valentino's got one more game Wednesday, and then Gonzalo Pineda will be in Thursday, and he takes over from there. But Rob Valentino will still be on the staff, so that's good news. So all around, things are looking a lot better than they were for United. Is that how you're seeing it from your end?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, congratulations on Gonzalo Pineda. Rob Valentino went out on a high note, right? Two wins leading them into a good little streak. Let's see if they can keep it going. I think one of the most difficult things about Gonzalo Pineda is that he's never been a head coach. Obviously, he knows the league. He knows the tactics. He's been around Seattle, winning team for the last few years. But it's completely different when you're in head coach now. Obviously, we see Mikel Arteta struggling with Arsenal from the same thing. We've seen many, many players go through it and really struggle, even though they have the knowledge, they know the game. So do you think Pineda will get the team going and get Atlanta back to its perch?
I think so. And I've told you, we've talked about this in the past, where Atlanta United, they have the players. I mean, we have good players. So it's a matter of just getting things going in the right direction and the chemistry being there. So I don't think it needed anything complicated. And I think with, you know, Frank De Boer, I think he really tried to change the team culture a lot. I think Heinze had a little bit of the attacking mindset, but I don't think it was clear cut what was expected of players. And I think he overcomplicated it. So Pineda, he's come in. And I was really impressed with his introductory interview. It was very well spoken.
He answered a lot of questions. Why? Because he spoke English? That's all racist.
that helps. But not just that. I mean, he's very humble. I can tell that, you know, I like him like as a person. Obviously, there's only so much you can tell from that. But I think he's going to gel well with the players. He answered a lot of tough questions, and he also came in saying that he's not going to go in here and do a whole overhaul thing, which I think is, you know, would be a bad idea, especially if we're still trying to make the playoffs. But he said that, you know, he's going to simplify things, and you know, the players know how to play, so just let them go and do it. So I think he is going to fit well. I'm excited for it. He knows MLS, obviously, and you know, he had nothing but positive things to say about Smeltzer. Was it Smeltzer?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, so I think it's going to be a good fit, and hopefully we keep rolling and keep that momentum. We're 5 points out of a playoff spot now. Even though we won, we only jumped up a point closer because the 7th seed team won as well. So yeah, things are looking a lot better right now.
That's awesome, dude. Obviously, we're excited to see him at the helm and see what he can do, and hopefully they're able to get rolling again, and Jose Martinez keeps his scoring for him. So let's see it.
Heck yeah, man. He's back. The king is back.
It's yeah, speaking about that, Joseph, dude, you know, he was considering retiring in the offseason because of his injury.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the news, and it actually kind of came up in the post-game interview where apparently when he was something about he had to have like 5 surgeries in a short time, and he got an infection. He wasn't sure he was going to be able to come back. So it was pretty crazy because nobody really knew that. You thought, you know, he was just, you know, typical nursing a ACL injury. But I mean, that's why you never know what's really going on with players when they get injured. And then obviously coming back is a big deal too.
Yeah, definitely is. So hopefully he continues the stride. So now talking about the best team in the MLS, LA Galaxy. Well,
give me 2 seconds and I'll let you talk about your precious Galaxy. Our new DP, Luis Araujo. I don't know. There's a couple different ways to pronounce it. He may or may not play this Wednesday, but the weekend for sure. He's got some visa issues. And then just I wanted to bring it up because I know you how you love LAFC. But they had a pretty good contingency. I want to say about 300 or so people at the game. And then I want to ask you this because I don't know. I don't think I've ever been to a game where the away fans were allowed to have like drums and instruments. Have you at the Galaxy game? Have they been able to get that into the stadium?
I want to say not LAFC, but I think other fans. No, I don't know. I mean, don't they allow it though?
But here, the thing is, because I don't know. Maybe they went through the process. Because for your own supporters, like you have to get a lot of things approved by the front office. So I think usually away teams probably either don't go through it, or you know, it's just I don't know. It's a way to keep your home field advantage where you just say no, you can't bring that. You can bring a couple banners and stuff. I don't know. Either way, you know, they had a good contingency. And, I mean, I don't know if you saw the highlights, but you can hear them a little bit. Obviously, they're up there in the 300s and not in the 100s. So, and I happened to be in the 300s this one time. I wasn't a big baller like I was the last game.
This one time.
and then also, apparently there was like a fight that broke out too, which I think is pretty much the MO for LAFC games and their fans.
Of course, dude, they're ghetto and they just take that everywhere. All they want to do is fight. I don't understand the fights. Talking crap and all that's funny and stuff, but fighting, like, LAFC's gonna turn around.
Thing too with away support. Obviously, you like teams traveling, but again, if you get in fights or scuffles, you're most likely not gonna be allowed back the next time you guys want to travel.
Exactly. So, obviously, we never know. Maybe Atlanta United's dirty fans initiated it. Isn't that what you guys call yourself, the Dirty South?
Yeah, that doesn't mean we freaking fight people in the stands.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, you should be talking, dude. Did you see the video of the LA Rams getting in fights with each other in the preseason game?
That's the LA Rams, bro. What's that have to do with me?
That's to do with LA and the LA Galaxy is in LA. LAFC too. LA culture,
we're not
bro.
Talking about cities. We're talking about clubs. Two completely different sports, bro.
You said we're called the Dirty South.
So you guys post on Atlanta United.
Oh boy, no, we don't.
Yeah, bro. Every hashtag it says Dirty South.
Anyways, mijo.
Now he's gonna talk go look about, it up. He's gonna go click follow because he doesn't even follow his own team.
Yeah, right, bro. Go ahead, talk about your little babies.
All right, LA Galaxy back. You know, we win like always. Anyways, 1-0, our striker made his debut. He started for the club. I think he went about 57 minutes. It's good to note that he probably isn't in full match fitness because obviously he was in off season. Now he came here and we're in the middle of the season. He looked okay. He provided the assist for the goal. So what more can you ask for other than an actual goal? So he did well. Galaxy, I think, looked okay at times. Wasn't the best playing style for the weekend, but who cares? Because we won 1-0. But the crazy thing is to me is how short this week turnaround is. Obviously, we played Saturday, played today, later tonight, Tuesday. And then we play again on Friday, dude. There's like, what, no training in between. Everyone's just relaxing.
Yeah, and then I guess is it pretty much because of the summer tournaments? You know, we had the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I think they have to kind of make up for all that.
Yeah, so hey, that does suck. So you guys are definitely gonna need to use some of your your bench players. But how do you so you your new player? What's his name? Jovalich?
Yeah, Jovalich, I think. Yeah, and we also, you know, started our other fullback who we got on loan from Queens Park Rangers. So both debuted. Obviously, they got the win. Jovalich, he's prolific in scoring over there. It's kind of interesting. My cousin Eric mentioned it, that Kevin Cabral, though he hasn't been able to do it on the field and get it done on the field, that it was kind of a great signing anyways because it activated the U22 DP initiative or whatever they call it. And it allowed for the signings like Jovelich. It allowed for us to re-sign Julian Araujo. It allowed for us to re-sign Efrain Alvarez. Because of the U22 initiative that was activated, Jovelich should technically be a DP. He's on DP money, but because of the whole 22 initiative, I guess it allows us to access more money. So it's pretty crazy that even though Kevin Cabral right now isn't getting it done on the field, the signing still is getting it done, you know, in other ways.
Yeah, I think that's what we, Atlanta United, used too, that 22 initiative. But Kevin Cabral, he's the one that scored the goal, right?
Yeah, but it's still...
Not,
I mean,
that well.
Well, here's the thing, right? It is true. Like, if you score, people start to forget. But he has his moments, but I don't know. He kind of walks around on the field. You would think from his body language that he doesn't care, but then you see him in the locker room, and he's, like, having a blast with the guy. So, I don't know. Hopefully, he bounces back soon. Obviously, Chicharito is still out. It is what it is. Here's a crazy thing. We actually started our backup keeper this weekend because, obviously, you know, so many games. Jonathan Klinsmann, son of Jurgen Klinsmann, is our backup keeper. Came in, dude. Man of the match performance. Like, Bondi was sitting on the bench. Jonathan Bond probably a little bit nervous. But Greg Vanney obviously acknowledged a great game, but he said Jonathan Bond still is the regular starter. So, it's going to be interesting, though. Now he knows there's a spark off the bench. You know, if you mess up, it could potentially lose your starting position.
I thought you guys hated Jonathan Klinsmann.
Because of the whole Donovan comment?
Yeah, isn't it funny that the club he ends up at is Donovan's club?
I know. But, I mean, like Eric said, he was 17. Imagine how much dumb stuff you say. Dude, you still say dumb things. Imagine that 17.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. But... moving on to the rest of the MLS. Dude, this one's a good one. Inter Miami. Obviously, we already know they're in shambles. But Inter Miami, the Athletic wrote an article about them. And one source from inside the club was quoted, "We launched a brand, not a team." What do you think about that?
Damn. That's pretty tough. But, I mean, it's technically true, even though even their brand has had a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's true. I mean, they just are not getting it done. I can't believe Neville still has a job. And they every week they get further and further. I mean, they won, but they still got 10 points to potentially make a playoff spot. And the way they've been playing, I think the way they're managed, it's kind of been a dumpster fire.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And here's the crazy thing. So apparently in like mid, forgot the exact date, but the Athletic was also reporting that three-fifths of the ownership group met with Don Garber because basically they needed a mediator. What's it called when they, you know, they can't discuss things on their own?
Damn.
So they all met up, and in that discussion, obviously the club was already aware of Matuidi and the investigations. In that discussion, one of the owners, I don't know if just because he was pissed, but he literally told him the club signed other agreements that were undisclosed for more money too. So that's when they found out about all the other shady stuff.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Damn. So they ratted themselves out. That's the crazy aspect of it.
Jeez. You know, and that's kind of the tough thing about when you have so many owners versus one, you know, just one massive owner. You know, you don't have to go through all that stuff. And I wonder, too, if something like that may happen if, you know, LAFC don't turn things around. Because, you know, they got like 80 owners for that team.
Yeah,
so.
Will Ferrell's making his decision, dude.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Another interesting piece that I read is Andrea Pirlo, obviously the beast player. Didn't do so good in his coaching debut with Juventus, ended up getting fired, but he expresses interest in coaching in the MLS. Do you think that's a good move for him or a bad move? And from the league's perspective, do you think it's good or bad?
You know, it's funny because, I mean, he hasn't really proved it at a coaching level. Obviously, he's got the name, so... you know, that his name is going to attract attention, but it's not really proven if he can do well as being a head coach, right?
Exactly, exactly, dude. So that's exactly what I was thinking is, of course, I think the MLS is definitely not as big of a league, obviously, to the Italian league, but he still hasn't proven it, I think, right now.
Can you do that when you just coach Juventus?
You won't, but you should.
There's no way. Because he's already got that, there's no way he can go to youth level.
He comes and coaches college soccer here in the U.S.
College will be able to afford him.
That's true. Kyle Beckerman, you know, he's at Utah Valley as a head coach.
That's really random that you know that.
Yeah, I know everything, bro. Might be Utah State.
About college soccer.
Anyways, we're changing the gear. We're going to talk about college soccer nowadays every day. No, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. If he were to come, what team would you like him to be at? Like, you know?
Well, doesn't it make sense for him to go to New York City?
Why is that?
That's where he played.
Yeah, but maybe you don't want to be there. Maybe he didn't like his time there.
No, I mean, you're right. But, I mean, everything I've heard, like, there's no bad blood. So I would think that usually, you know, wherever you got your old contacts can probably help you get in there. So I would think that's probably that they'll be at the top of the list. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I think anybody that goes with him is taking a chance. So it would just be teams that maybe don't mind taking a gamble. So I would think probably more of like the lower tier teams.
New York Red Bulls.
In MLS. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be kind of weird, right? Because you play New York City, your rival, and your coach is one of your players.
Yeah. But, David, any other MLS results or news that stands out to you?
Hell yeah, dude. Drubbing. We had what do they call it? The rivalry being seen, Seattle Sounders and Portland.
The Cascadia Cup.
Yeah, but I guess that's between them and Vancouver too. But either way, Seattle went down to Portland and beat the crap out of them 6-2. It's pretty embarrassing. Can you remember a time when there's been a rivalry game that's been that?
Yeah, lopsided? LA Galaxy when we played Chivas USA for the last like 5 years. Like, no, actual
but
Chivas
we
USA.
All know. Yeah, I know, but we all know that wasn't a real rivalry.
Yeah, but it was on paper.
Yeah, I guess so. But any others you can think about that's been a scoreline that big? I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about maybe Houston, Dallas, when Houston was good and Dallas not so much. You know, I don't know who else that I can remember it being that big of a beating.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. That's pretty embarrassing, you know?
Yeah, so obviously Portland's got some work to do. They're going to want to get that one back. You know, granted, they're still in a playoff spot right now, which, you know, what's the West, I think, just somehow everybody from, like, 11th place to 7th place still have, like, a realistic chance of making the playoffs. Where on the East, it's like maybe 7th, 8th, 9th probably have a chance. And then everybody else is like way behind.
Dude, are you shitting me? It's like the same thing.
Not really.
Oh my God, Montreal sitting in 7th with 26 points. Okay, Portland has 23 points, okay? It's pretty much one game difference.
It's huge, dude. 3 points is huge.
Oh my gosh, come on. Check your facts before you hop on here.
Dude, but you guys are really, like, there's just a lot more, like, bunched up together.
Here's the bias. He always brings up the West being weaker, so that way when Atlanta United doesn't make the playoffs, he goes, oh, well, if we were in the West, we would have been in playoffs.
Nah, dude, I'm not a Cowboys fan.
That's exactly what you would say, dude.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, like who would you say, you know, are your the top teams in MLS right now? Like, if you had I don't know, your top three, who would you say?
Seattle, New England,
so,
and LA Galaxy.
Is LA Galaxy playing better than New York City?
You know what? Playing better? That's a good question because I haven't watched New York play this season, you know what I mean? So I can't honestly answer that question.
You know what's funny about Galaxy? Because I don't think they've been playing, like, amazing soccer, but they've been able to get it done. So I don't know what's more impressive, playing, like, you know, winning, because, you know, and this has happened to Atlanta United, where we played really good soccer, but we either tied or lost. So at the end of the day, it's more important to just keep finding a way to win.
There's been moments. The last couple games, we haven't been playing amazingly, but there's been a few games where we did play really good football. But, I mean, I guess at this level, obviously, you do want to win playing good soccer, but after losing for 5 years, it's just like, let's just win.
I mean, not a bad strategy. And just hats off to Greg Vanney, because, I mean, what a beast to turn Galaxy around and have them in the position they're in. Because you guys have been, been pretty consistent this season.
Yeah, and hopefully once Chicharito gets back, we'll be able to continue.
And without Chicharito on.
Yep. Well, David, moving on to the NWSL and women's national team. Bump, bump, bump. David.
Dude, I'm kind of sad, actually.
I am. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, what's the one thing that brings us into the NWSL? Kansas City was winless, and they finally won. David, which team decided to break our hearts?
Olympic Lyon Rain. So it's funny. I wonder if all the NWSL teams were like, we better not be the team that loses to them.
I know. Now that they lost, you're like, oof. All right, you can relax. Well, not lost, but one team, you know, lost to them. So it's pretty sad. It was a good, 10 games, 11 games that they didn't win.
That was so there's 14 games played, so and the four draws, so man, but yeah, those, it's just pretty crazy. We talked about it'd be even crazier if they still made the playoffs.
They win it all after not winning the entire time.
Yeah, but it's not like the West and MLS, so they won't make it.
Yep. So David, you think you're funny.
We got Portland Thorns at the top of the table. So remember, the top two spots get their byes, and you got six out of the 10 teams that make it to the playoffs. So now, even with MLS, you know, we're getting to the second half of the season. So this is the time where everyone needs to start turning it on.
Yep. Gotham FC sitting in third place. We picked up a tie this past weekend. And I guess other news with Gotham FC, they fired their general manager for violation of league policy. I was reading the articles. They didn't really state what she did, but something about maybe the harassment policy, something like that. So I don't know what's going on, but she was fired. So Gotham FC, we're looking for a new GM. You know, everybody reach out if you're interested.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I could handle the harassment policies either. Obi keeps filing claims to Ro about my harassment on this podcast.
To our HR.
Hey, is it harassment if the other person enjoys it?
Oh, here we go. We're going into this area of the show, huh? Hey,
I'm talking about you.
There's always one part of the show that David wants to be like, I wonder if we can get canceled now.
You know what? You're right, and I had it hit it so far in the podcast, so I was like, "All right, now's the right time."
Yep. David, U.S. Women's National Team legend retires. Carly Lloyd hangs up the boots. It's a sad day for U.S. soccer. Obviously, she contributed so much. Obviously, I grew up watching her play. You know, from as long as I can remember, Carly Lloyd's been on the team, tearing it up, dicing it up, and now we say goodbye to a legend. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the OGs, so hats off to her. I mean, she's 39. You know, we were talking about her to see if she would even make the Olympic team and maybe the World Cup. So obviously, she's not going to go to the World Cup with retiring at the end of the season with Gotham FC. But yeah, I mean, just a stalwart. She's got she's got two World Cups, two gold medals, and obviously the bronze medal that they just won. You know, she's pretty much done it all. So nothing left for her to prove. You know, just one of those players I think we're gonna remember. You know, like Mia Hamm. Just those players that really are cements it with the U.S. Women's National Team.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We'll definitely see her in the Hall of Fame, you know, down the road. I don't know. What do they say? You're supposed to be retired like 10 years before they vote you in? I don't know the policy on that.
Yeah, something like that. And 312 appearances for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Sheesh. Played more for them than she did for club, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, probably. A lot more, actually. Not probably.
And speaking about another star, Megan Rapinoe, thinking about her future. David, go into that.
Yeah, so obviously we all know how, you know, the Olympics ended. I think, you know, we both talked about how the U.S. women's teams, they need to reinvent themselves. They need to get younger. They need to be more tactical. So Rapinoe's, obviously she's thinking about her future with the national team, potentially her NWSL career. You know, she's 36 now. So, you know, I obviously we all know how, you know, soccer is in this country, especially at the women's level. I definitely could see her playing for the NWSL a little bit longer. But I think in terms of the United States national team, I think, one, she wouldn't make the team. And two, even if she did, I think herself, I don't think she would be able to perform at the next level to be ready to go for, let's say, the World Cup.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, she's a legend in her own right. She's done a lot of great things for the team. But I think on the field, she's just at that age where I don't think she can make an impact. And yeah, maybe at the NWSL she can still play for, you know, another season or two, but I don't see the World Cup happening.
Yeah, and obviously it's ultimately up to her. She's 36. Just talking about Carly Lloyd, she retired at 39, which, you know, for in the men's circle, unless you're a goalkeeper, that's really unheard of to be playing for the national team at that age. I think, what was the last player? Maybe Fiegel, wasn't he pretty old? When he was playing, I forgot what age he retired.
The national team? There's a Japanese guy playing pro still. He's like 52 or 50.
Oh, that's for the men's Japanese national team?
Not the national team, sorry. He's just playing in the league.
Oh, okay. No, I meant the national team. Because obviously that's a whole different animal. Because shoot, we had even Batemo Blanco playing in the second division.
No neck, bro. No neck.
Irapuato, he was still playing at whatever age he was. He looked more overweight than ever, and still scoring goals.
Did he inspire you? If he could do it, you could do it?
Yeah, you look at Cuauhtemoc and you're like, dude, if he could be a pro, why can't I be a pro? But obviously, you know, Luis can be deceiving. You know, how did we get on that topic? Anyways, let's move on.
Let's move on to Americans abroad. David, how did we do in Europe?
Like me personally?
Yeah, you personally, dude.
I've actually never been to Europe.
What a loser!
All the Eurosongs are like, that explains everything. this dumb wanker. Obviously we know, we talked about Jarrett Sargent signed with Norwich. So he made his debut. He played for like 10 minutes. 10 minutes on which I actually had to leave somewhere. So, of course, as soon as I leave somewhere, he goes into the game. Which sucked because I was watching it, and at halftime, they were, like, cheering for him, like, saying USA chants. So I was like, oh, Josh Sargent is going to come in. And he doesn't come in until 10 minutes left of the game when they were already down, like, 2-0?
Yeah. So he ended up coming in. I think he had very good glimpses. The head coach was quoted saying, Josh Sargent looked really well, and he definitely thinks he earned more minutes, so it should be good. Josh Sargent, hopefully he's able to score and reward Norwich, but I'm pretty excited to see what else he can do. And Christian Pulisic, Captain America, starts for Chelsea, and what's he do, David?
He scores goals galore. Pulisic, man. Obviously, it wasn't like an amazing goal. It kind of was a deflection that just fell to his feet. But hey, you still got to finish him. You still got to be at the right place at the right time. Good to see that. it'll be interesting to see if you know, they still, if he still gets a start when Zilic comes back.
Zilic,
I can't look another word. But either way, good for Pulisic. But tell me what happened with Dortmund, man.
Well, Haaland was a beast, but we're focusing on the American. So Gio Reyna gets a goal. He actually was assisted by Haaland, which I think was kind of a shot that Gio Reyna just got on the end of it. But still, the what I liked about it was Reyna was cool and calm and composed in front of goal. Keeper coming out, just taps it to the side and finishes it. So well done to Gio Reyna. Also, he played 77 minutes in the whatever they call it, the cup, the FA Cup, basically. Between Dortmund and Bayern Munich, and he, so 77 minutes, so it's good. He's starting to become a regular starter, and hopefully he can continue growing.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
And staying good in the Bundesliga, another American, this time from the touchline, Ted Lasso. No, I'm just kidding. Jesse Marsch, you know, moves over to Leipzig, makes his Bundesliga debut, and unfortunately they lose 1-0, and it kind of really sucks because Bayern Munich also lost, so it was their chance to, you know, I know it's only the first weekend, but it's their chance to gain points on Munich. Anytime you can gain points on Munich is a big deal.
Yeah, and we know how it goes. Everyone's always like, you know, maybe this is the year that Bayern doesn't win it, and then they end up winning it. So we'll keep our eyes out there, but yeah, come on, Jesse. You gotta win this one. Can you imagine? Jesse Marsch, can you imagine if he won the Bundesliga, bro?
That would be amazing.
Would you get him tattooed on your butt?
Maybe, dude. Would you?
No, but for this, yes, why not? For hypotheticals, sure.
This is all hypothetical, dude.
Yeah, but for you, because you're all into coaching and stuff. You know, that'd be a huge deal. You'd probably cry.
I'll get a poster on my wall.
But they can't. They lost to Mainz. Mainz. Yeah. Damn, dude, you can't lose to them. Come on now.
Yeah, because we're experts in the Bundesliga.
You don't have to be an expert to. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, like some of the big, like clubs in the Bundesliga, like aren't really that big of clubs anymore. Because, like, remember, like Hoffenheim and Stuttgart.
Oh, yeah.
And now they they're like
used to be up there.
Yeah, Schalke. So it's like now. So yeah, you're right. Who knows? Mainz might be a good. And then look, Lille won the league last year.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed that? You know. So who knows? Yeah. You're right.
The French league. You're right. Let's clarify. Once in a while.
Yeah, they won the EPL.
Well, could you go? You're like, well, look at this, Leo. We're talking about the Bundesliga, bro. We gotta clarify. Some of our listeners. What about if our French listeners get pissed off right now? They're like, no, they don't even know where they're at.
So stupid, we need American.
We need to clarify. Well, yeah. Speaking about the EPL, dude, we're back, baby. It's the Premier League. Unfortunately, my team didn't pick up the win and over the weekend. It was a great game, though. I don't know if you got to watch it. Manchester City versus Tottenham Hotspurs. Tottenham under new management. Santo from who he was at Wolves before. Some have called him Mourinho 2.0, but I would stick with that name because he looked better than Mourinho. They played with more heart. They played with more energy. Intensity was high. Man City and Tottenham were flying into challenges. It didn't feel like an opening weekend game. It felt like, you know, they were battling, you know, for the championship or top four at the end of the year. So it was great. And one thing across the board in the EPL, it seemed like the referees were allowing a lot more tackles and not calling every little thing. So it's definitely good to see a lot more physical league. Any other results that, you know, you enjoyed watching or anything that stood out to you?
Well, we know who the best team in Manchester is from the opening week, obviously. It's Manchester United.
They're not 5-1. In Manchester, but we'll call it.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're really, their name. They're not, but it's weird. They are, but they're not. Anyway, that's a whole other topic.
Oh, man. We're really going to get canceled. But, yeah, Manchester United 5-1 against Leeds.
I know, and we're kind of – Leeds is another team, obviously, I try to watch and see how they're doing, but – 5-1, that's a they made a statement, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Pogba had himself a game as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of it's crazy because, you know, Leeds isn't like a, you know, a crappy team. And obviously, you know, they have the they're a very attack minded team, Leeds United. So maybe that kind of lends itself to, you know, get blitzed like that. But either way, it's good. Good stuff for Manchester United. Obi, are they back?
Manchester United? Oof. If they continue to play like this, yes. But obviously, we've seen them come through and kind of continue this form here and there, and then they miss. All I know is right now everyone's praising Ollie Gunshire, praising his name. But then as soon as he loses, everyone's like, what's this PE teacher doing at the helm of Manchester United? So I don't know. It's too early to call.
Yeah, you're right. But we obviously saw the improvements from Manchester United last year. So let's see if they can keep going. But pretty much all the contenders won. Liverpool 3-0 over Norwich. Chelsea 3-0. Manchester United 5-1. All except Man City. But who knows? Maybe Tottenham has something to say this year. And obviously, he had Son that scored the goal. So he continues to play well.
And Harry Kane not in the lineup, not in the 18. The fans started chanting, "Are you watching this, Harry Kane?" When they were beating Man City. So, ball is in Tottenham's court because now they can demand more and be like, "Well, tell Kane, like, look, we don't need you. We just beat the defending champions." You know what I mean?
Right.
So
exactly.
It's gonna be interesting. One thing that stood out was obviously, dude. We'll talk about him later, but I'm going to bring it up right now, too. Hey, your beloved Arsenal, bro.
I'm Brentwood till I die. I'm Brentwood till I die.
Losing to a recently promoted team, dude.
Look, Brentwood is just going to they're gonna be the Leicester of years ago and win the entire league, bro. And then it won't look so bad anymore.
Yeah.
Embarrassing 2-0 loss. I mean, you just look at the personnel that Arsenal has. Even though they controlled a lot of the possession, they weren't really creating chances. And honestly, Brentwood, you know, they had multiple chances. So it could have even been worse if you really think about it. So
obviously, definitely. Well, really quick, three stories I want to cover. Messi, obviously, to PSG. We talked about that last week. He should be making his debut sometime soon. He is in training, so hopefully we'll be keeping an eye on the Ligue 1 and seeing if he makes his debut soon.
Do we care about Ligue 1 now?
No, we care about PSG. There's a big difference.
I get that. So, but it is kind of funny because we saw how, you know, overnight PSG's followers on social media just like went up significantly, and then even I guess Michael Jordan somehow owns 5% of t-shirt sales, so he knows how to invest stuff. But he got $6 million over the weekend that Messi was signed, so pretty crazy the amount of impact that Messi can have. But you're right, we're just gonna pay attention to PSG. Obviously, they should win the league, no questions asked, but it's going to come down to the Champions League.
Yeah, definitely. Well, going to La Liga, Piqué cuts half his salary to allow Barca to complete the signings of other players. Real quick, what do you think about that?
Well, it's kind of crazy because Messi offered the same thing, but obviously the salary,
difference is way different.
Yeah, so Messi's would have been significantly more, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they would have been. The thing is, with Messi's 50%, they're still above the budget, I think.
Yeah, so why couldn't they have done like both these things together? Or
maybe if they done both, I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But definitely, Barca screwed it all up. But now, obviously, because of Piqué, he cares about the club. He did that gesture, and it's crazy because Piqué should be starting going to the bench now, I think. He's definitely not up there anymore. But now that he just cut half his salary, you kind of have to start him, huh?
Yeah, he just needs to chill with Shakira more.
Yeah, pretty much. So last thing that I want to mention is FIFA tells Uruguay to remove two of their four stars on their jersey. They've always worn four stars because they were two-time Olympic champions when the Olympics were ran by FIFA and there was no World Cup. And so FIFA was literally like running the Olympics, and then they went independent. They did the whole World Cup, and you know, then now at the Olympics you have to have U23s. So what do you think about that? Them telling them to remove the other two stars, even though for the longest time they were recognized as world champions.
Man, this must have came from like Argentina or Brazil. they must have petitioned it or something, because it's hella random to do it now. But yeah, again, if there was no FIFA, so there was no FIFA World Cup at the time, right?
Yeah, there was no FIFA World Cup.
Were they the only champions at that time? So were they like, is there anybody else that would have to have a star removed as well, or do you not know that?
I'm not sure.
I would assume, yeah, because you know, the Olympics is every 4 years too, so that would have been an 8-year period that there was no World Cup. So I don't know if there was a longer period than that. But yeah, I mean, if there's no World Cup, you would think at that time those are the best teams in the world.
Especially because it was ran by FIFA.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I think they should just respect it. If they've allowed them to do it this so many years, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we're going to take away championships because the keepers didn't wear gloves back then, so they were just using their bare hands, and that's not real, you know, real soccer or something.
Yeah, true that. But David, moments of the week, stud and dud, give them to us.
So I got two very impressive players that I think are going to be stars. Well, they're already stars, but they're just for years to come. Bruno Fernandes, hat trick with the Manchester United game we just talked about. You know, his coach talked very highly of him, and obviously he put it on display.
It's cool because I captained him in my fantasy league, so I got double the points. Let's go.
But didn't you also play somebody else in another fantasy league over the weekend?
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, that one. That one I purposely tanked.
Yeah. Me and Obi had to play each other in EPL fantasy. My team name, by the way, is Ted Lasso's Payasos. And yeah, we got the W.
Hey, I purposely tanked. I'm not going to say why. You better not say why. We'll just find out later.
Yeah, right. And then also, Erling Haaland. Two goals and assists for Dortmund over the weekend. One to Gio Reyna, which Obi mentioned earlier. He's beasting it up. He's got that awesome blonde hair. Man, he's just, who knows? Let's see how many goals he gets this year.
Yeah, definitely is a good studs there. And can you give us a dud, David?
Nah, you can go ahead and do it.
Oh, come on, you Gunners. Arsenal given the dud of the week. We obviously went into detail earlier. We think not just dud for this week. Obviously, they're struggling. Hopefully, they're able to bounce back. I'm actually rooting for the manager. He obviously knows his football, but I just think he doesn't have the right players, so he has to adjust. But he's trying to fit a square into the circle peg or whatever. So it is what it is, but yeah, they got the dud. But as always, that's the end of our show. Just want to thank you guys. Make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you give us feedback. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Reach out to us on Facebook. Get the conversation going on Facebook. Reach out on Twitter, email. But as always, stay classy.
Stay classy, San Diego. And also, if you guys want to send in some duds and studs, you know, just send us to us on our messenger or post on our page. Sunday League's Finest, and you know, we'll see what you guys put, and we might give you a shout out. You never know.
Yep. Peace.
Peace, y'all.
It's been real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out weekly. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out via email or on any of our social media platforms. Bye. Have a good week.